Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. I am Sean Green, alongside with Mark Carmen. We're filling in for Matt Bubala here. A big hats off to Matt Bubala for letting us fill in for him this weekend. You guys probably heard of Savon Funchess-Wade. She was connected to NBA superstar Dwayne Wade. And one of the things I always want to know is, what's her side of the story? She has a new book out. It's called The True Story of God's Glory, The Life of Savon L. Funchess-Wade. She's on the Super Celebrity Hotline with me right now.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. So, first of all, you have this new book out. First of all, I didn't know you were an author, first and foremost. What compelled you to write this book?
Well, I didn't know I was an author either. but I can truly say that God is the one who led me to write this book. I was doing just fine keeping to myself, but God explained to me that the things I've been through, and even the things my former spouse has been through and our children, are much bigger than us. And God explained to me that a lot of the media attention we've gotten, although it's been difficult for us, he's used it for his good. A lot of people need to hear what's on the inside of me and know the God that brought me through hell itself, basically. So I'm giving people what God told me is my best. I've handed out money to people before. I've put people in positions before to help them. But God told me, you have not given people your best until you've given them me. And so with this book, that's really what I'm doing. I'm giving people the God that basically saved my life. And then when he did, he gave me a life finally worth living.
When you're living that lifestyle of being married to an NBA superstar like Dwayne Wade, and things tend to not work out, you know, most people tend to go their separate ways and they don't say anything. And most people do it, they don't say anything out of fear, because they feel like, if I say this, then I'm going to face some kind of retribution for saying something that I shouldn't have said. So, I mean, was it fear that kept you from, like, saying anything flat out?
Fear at one point in time, I can say spiritually and emotionally, paralyzed me. But this fear was not imagined. It was very real what I was suffering. And that's another reason why God compelled me to write this book. Because a lot of this, you know, domestic violence is very real. Repercussions are also very real. It takes a very brave and courageous soul to just break that silence, to say, yes, I have suffered this. It's not to mean harm. It's not to shame anybody or anything like that. I made mistakes myself. I don't stand in the position of Jesus, so I'm in no position to judge anybody, not even the ones who've done wrong to me. But I just realized, like I said, God brought me to the point where I realized it's bigger than me. And so I had to allow God to deliver me from that fear. But yes, fear is it's very real. And when you get somebody that has the ability, you know, to execute their threats, it gets more real. So I had to allow God to get me beyond that point of myself and think about how many people is going to benefit and bless to share what really happened. You know, and this is for all of our good. It does us no good as a family, and it does the world no good that we live a lie. So I just decided to take the truth, and that's taking a chance. Yeah. I understand that very much so it is. I risk about everything to tell this truth. So I'm really praying that, you know, it'll do what God said, and I've had people that have reached out to me even halfway through it, telling me, you know, this has happened to them. This is how their marriage has changed. I've had women since then reach out to me that have opened up their own business because they've gotten an impartation of the entrepreneurship that God has given me in my life. And so I'm just grateful. Those people like that, again, make it all worth it.
Let's roll back from when the first time you met Dwayne Wade. You guys kind of started dating around 15, 16 years old, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
He gets in the NBA. What are some of the things what was your experience being married to an NBA superstar? Was it everything that it was cracked up to be at first and it fell off, or did it just start to roll off like right away?
Well, I have a chapter in my book that I discuss in depth that lifestyle, and I call it Lights, Camera, Ashes, because so many people are searching after that. People are betraying their own character. They are even willing to step on their mothers who gave birth to them to get to a place of rich and famous. But if rich and famous people would be honest with themselves and with the world, they would tell people who have yet to taste that lifestyle, it is bittersweet. That's the honest to God truth. It is a blessing when God does something. I believe that God called me to the place he called me to, and I believe that God called Dwayne too. He gave us both a platform. I believe that. But for myself, I can say that I don't know. I went astray. That's just the truth. I went off. I got that money. I got some attention I never had before, and I really didn't know what to do with it. So it did what it wanted to do with me. I lost my foundation was shaken. I act like Christ, what, who, you know, and I just was going on about my business. But God brought me to a place and allowed for me. He really allowed for me to have everything I thought I wanted, even those things that are not wrong. He allowed for me to have the husband I prayed for, the children I wanted, and I never thought that I would ever be somebody that was a millionaire. I just asked God, you know, to be a professional counselor. That's the only dream I'd really had, and a lawyer. So I never dreamed of being a millionaire. I certainly didn't ever dream of having a public platform at all in my life. I just wasn't one of those type of girls growing up. But God gave it to me, and I forgot about God. And when I did that, hell came against me in a way that it took the grace of God to even describe in those pages. It took me quite some time to get through that book because I really wanted to be transparent. So being in that lifestyle, I mean, with God, it's good. But honestly, a lot of times in that lifestyle, we tend to forget about God, and then it is terrible. I think about the money and the fame almost like arsenal. It's like having more bullets in the gun aimed at yourself. You more likely to do more damage. It's much more likely to be lethal. And that is what that chapter is all about. And that's really who I dedicate that chapter to, men and women that are in that lifestyle. It's everything that glitters isn't gold. I hate to use that cliche, but it's so very real. It's so very real and authentic, that statement. So without God, it's garbage.
Yeah.
Even gold is garbage without God. I've learned that lesson. Nobody has to teach it to me again. I'm good on that one.
Now, while you were writing this book, did you get to a point where you got to a really hard part where you were like, you may have gotten emotional in writing that chapter or that certain piece of the book that was just really hard to write about? And if so, which part was it?
Well, one of the parts that was difficult for me was the part when I wrote about my only sister having been killed in that car accident. I didn't even realize. People say writing is therapeutic. That's also true. I didn't realize that I had not properly mourned that loss. And when I got to that particular part in that chapter, I almost broke my laptop because the tears poured from my eyes on my keyboard. I thought my laptop was ruined at that point, writing. And when I got to the chapter about like the breakdown of my former marriage, I mean, that was so strong to me that for weeks I avoided writing. It really took God to push me through that point. I almost was an almost author at that point in my life when I had to recall that. I remember praying and asking God, I really don't want to dig up old wounds. I mean, it took such a long time to heal, God. I would hate to go back in there and be hurt all over again. But God really showed me by pushing through that he has truly healed me. It's something that I can talk about now. It's even something that I can laugh about now. But that one set me back a few weeks. The release of that book would have been earlier, but for me being afraid that I would feel that pain all over again by having to recall what happened. And the chapter about what happened with my children as far as custody, and I God gave me the name of the chapter after that called The Aftermath, because it certainly didn't end the hell once the custody decision was entered. It was, that was just the beginning, come to find out. So it was, that was really difficult too. Now in that chapter, I didn't find myself crying. I found myself with a holy indignation. I found myself saying, God, if they refuse to give me justice, then you do it by any means necessary. I mean, it was literally indignating. I felt myself hot on the inside. Wow. As I had to write and relive the things that are just so ridiculous on every level, including legal.
Do you have anything that you actually regret?
Honestly, I don't. And God told me this once, I mean, about as far as regretting something, it's not, Savon, that you are proud of what you did. You are just no longer ashamed of it either. And I'm at that place in my life where I believe that even what I did that was wrong, even the things I didn't know were wrong and it just was flat out evil, or maybe I hurt somebody along the way without even realizing it. For me, my faith in God is this: all of it is under the blood of Jesus, and I'm not letting anybody judge me. People can say what they want and infer what they want, but I'm not letting any of those outer comments get on the inside of me. I'm done with that part of my life as well. So I don't have any regrets. Everybody who's meant anything to me, I have apologized to. I have went to God, first of all, and apologized to him. I went to my parents, thank God. My dad passed away about a year ago. I'm glad I made amends with him and just made sure all was well with me and him. And, I was, like I said, I lost it a bit at that time coming fresh into that money. So I just wanted to make sure everything was good. I've had that talk a long time ago with Dwayne, because after God, I owed my husband at that time the next apology. So I went to him too. And that's just it. Now, once you lay that out there and you truly repent to God and people, it's between them and God and their own heart to forgive you and let things go. But I've done my part and I'm at peace with that.
Wow. Last question. It's kind of a two-part question. What's the biggest misconception that that you think people may have of you? And two, what is something that people may not know about you that you want people to know?
Biggest misconception. Wow. So many lies have been told about me. We need at least like 10 more days of this, right? We need 10 more days straight to do this one. I don't know. I've been called some of everything. I've been called all sorts of things. And by most of the time, people can't even pronounce my name. So they're like, that C.O. Von lady is nuts. So I'm like, you don't even pronounce my name right. Shut up. So I don't know. It's a lot of misconceptions. People have said things about me, you know, personally. They've accused me spiritually. About following Christ, something's wrong with that. And just, you know, I mean, it's so all over the place. I really don't know where to start. But I would say this, the world has yet to know me because my creator has yet to introduce me until now. That's the truth. A lot of people have spoken for me, mostly my enemies. As a matter of fact, they sort of introduced me. They said, now we want to present to you. And then God started talking through me in this book. So I believe that, and I want to give credit to the one who created me, because truly it was him that wrote this through me, and truly it's him, like we discussed earlier, who delivered me from that fear, which has allowed me to open my mouth and finally speak for myself. So I believe that if people read this and keep an eye out, not for myself, like I said, I believe that what God has called me to do in this book is only the beginning, and I believe it's going to bless and transform many more people, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I think, you know, if people will look at that, they'll see, not so much what I tell them. I could tell somebody anything, but Jesus said you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So if people just take the time and look at the fruit that it bears, like this book is fruit that I've bared, that should mean way more than what some naysayer said that they think they know about me. I'm hoping so.
And you're also a PhD. This is something I did not know about you. So, I mean, what's the deal with that? You're a PhD. Let me know a little bit about that.
Well, I went to school during this ordeal when the world was shouting, ah, she's suicidal. Ah, we think she's depressed and she's this and that. I actually was graduating at the time, right? That tells you how much people know. So I was doing that, you know. I was absolutely devastated when my former marriage broke down. But God turned it for good in this. before that, I was just somebody's wife. And at this point in time, when I couldn't be his wife anymore, I had to be who God called me to be at that point. There was nothing left. So I began to remember, like, my own dreams and my own desires, and God took me back to school, and I got a degree in psychology, a professional counseling certificate and a master's program, PhD in theology, and I'm almost done with law school right now. So God has been building me up, and he's been redeeming the time, basically, that I felt and was devastated believing that it was lost. I can truly attest to that as well, that with God, it really is possible. Even people that feel like years have been wasted and they spend a lot of time saying, well, they shouldn't have done this and maybe they shouldn't have done that, leave the past exactly where it's at, and that's in the past, and keep looking up to God so he can keep moving you forward in life. And he can make up for all of those things that we swear are lost, or in our own strength and power, you know, we can't undo them. So I'm doing that right now, and hopefully I'll be finished with law school soon.
And there you have it, Dr. Savon L. Funches Wade. The book is The True Story of God's Glory, The Life of Savon L. Funches Wade. You got me saying Savon.
Shout out to them, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you can definitely get this book at awildwoman.com. Make sure you check that out. Go to awildwoman.com. You can get it there and wherever else fine books are sold. Thanks so much for doing this.
Well, thank you too, Sean, for having me. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I know what I'm doing is bigger than me. So to me, and on behalf of everybody else that this will touch and help in some kind of way, I do say thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, cool. Thank you. And we'll be right back. This is Sean Green and Mark Conrad in for Matt Bubala. We'll be back right after this.